You are listening to the Zen Nova Scotia podcast with talks by Cone Franz. These talks are made possible in part by generous donations from our listeners. To find out how to support and take part in our community, visit zennovascotia.com.
In the Record of Things Heard, Part 6, Section 7, it reads, Dogen also said, the essential point to be careful about in practicing the way is casting aside your tendency from the past to cling to certain things. If you first change your physical behavior, your mind will be reformed as well. Firstly, carry out what is prescribed to do and avoid what is prohibited in the precepts. Then your mind will reform of itself. In China, there is a custom among lay people of gathering at their ancestral shrine and pretending to cry to demonstrate their filial piety toward their fathers and mothers. Eventually, they actually begin to cry. Students of the way, even if you don't have Bodhi mind in the beginning, if you force yourself to practice the Buddha way, eventually you will arouse true Bodhi mind. There's more, but that's a lot. The essential point to be careful about in practicing the way is casting aside your tendency from the past to cling to certain things. This is Buddhism 101. You're stuck, right? Not because the cosmic order says that you have to be stuck, but because you're a person of habit. You're a person of patterns. And every day your patterns become more deeply ingrained. That's natural. You go to work the same way. You drive the same streets. You see the same people. For most people, their day-to-day encounters are not that challenging. There might be moments, but basically, you get to say good morning in the same way, and you get to wrap up your work day in the same way. You get to go home to the same sofa, and you get to eat whatever it is that you eat. So the groove that you've started digging for yourself when you were born just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until you don't realize that it's a groove and you just think, well, this is who I am. This is me doing it how I do it. But Dogen says, if you first change your physical behavior, your mind will be reformed as well. And here we switch from Buddhism 101 to Zen 101. We want, and I think Buddhism as a whole encourages this, we want our minds to be just right. We want our hearts to be just right. It sounds so nice. I took up Buddhism imagining that I would change fundamentally, and that all my thoughts would be good thoughts. And all my ideas would just shine with clarity. They made it sound like that. Right? But what Dogen says is, who cares? Who cares about the quality of your mind? Who cares what's in your heart of hearts? We can practice loving kindness. We can sit and we can send out loving kindness to the whole world and we can cultivate a good feeling. But if that good feeling doesn't translate to the way that we speak, if it doesn't translate to the way that we act in the world, it means nothing. What Dogen says is, if you really want to get this right, start with how you speak and start with how you act in the world. And let your hypocrisy be your practice. If you want to be kind, be kind. Even while you know deep in your heart that you're not that kind. Even though you understand that not all of your thoughts are so generous, you can still say a kind thing. You can still do a kind thing, right? And you can tell yourself that you're pretending to be kind, except in what universe is pretending to be kind different from being kind. You just be kind. And then, in the next moment, you do it again. This is so simple. This is so straightforward. And it is so contrary to really anything that we imagine about how we move and how we change in the world. If you want to cultivate kindness, say kind things. Compliment people with your mouth, right? Don't just go home and think, oh, I see something about her that's really nice. Maybe not everyone sees it, but I see it. I'm good, right? Say it. If you want to cultivate gratitude, you say thank you. When the opportunity arises, you say thank you for that. If you want to cultivate humility, you bow a lot with your body. If you want to cultivate confidence, you do things. Right? That sounds so obvious, and yet the way that we work with children is often not that. What we do is we tell children, you're awesome. You can do anything. You can do anything. Don't go outside. But you're so great. You can run the world. Put that down. Right? The kids who are actually confident are the ones who fail. And they fail because they do. The people who are fearless are the ones who fail. And they fail because they do with their body. There's a great study that came out a few years ago that pointed out that there's a drop in fear that happens for children who have broken a bone. The ones who have actually been hurt are much less afraid of being hurt than the ones who never have, because they can't conceive of it, right? They have no frame. You go out and you do it. And if, as Dogen is saying, if this actual practice, and now we're not talking about practice just in the kind of the Buddhist practice way, but we're talking about actually practicing something. If you go out and you practice being kind, or you practice being confident, or you practice being humble, or you practice being generous, then it may in fact be that your mind will become all of those things, that it will take on those qualities because it has actually performed those as actions. And it may also be that it never does, not in the way that you want, not in the way that you hope, not in that pure crystalline way, right? That holds no resentments and holds no greed. You can hold all of those things in yourself and you can still act in the way that you feel you should act. He gets a little more specific. He says, carry out what is prescribed to do and avoid what is prohibited in the precepts. Then your mind will reform of itself. So he's saying, use the precepts as a guide for action, both in how you hold back and how you move forward. That's what brings the precepts to life. And then he has this great story about how in China, people force themselves to cry at funerals until they cry. This is the most Dogen-esque story. He loves this stuff. One of the most famous statements on the nature of reality from Dogen. There are two that say the same thing. One is he looks at a painting of the moon that's supposed to represent enlightenment. And he says, oh, it's just a, he says, that's nothing. But then he turns, he says, it's just a painting of a rice cake. But then he turns around and he says, but paintings of rice cakes are real. Right? The symbol doesn't matter. But if we see something as literal, then we see what it is, right? If we move past the idea of pretending, if we move past the idea of a show. His other is, he talks about dragons. He has this story, which I've told 10 times, about the man who loved dragons and collected all the dragon figurines. And then the king of dragons heard about it and showed up, and the guy passed out when he saw a real dragon, right? And Dogen says, don't be afraid of the true dragon. But then later he backs up and he says, all those figurines, also true dragons. The man didn't know that. But Dogen is saying, that also is true. Don't second guess your actions in this frame. Don't be kind and say, but I'm not really kind. Don't be generous and then say, but I'm not really generous. And the opposite. Don't be a jerk and then say, but you know what? Deep down, I'm really nice. Don't kid yourself. This idea about who you are at your core, Dogen says, get rid of that. That's not serving you. That's not serving anybody. That's a story that you tell to entertain yourself. It's false. It's maybe the most basic falsehood. In the moment that you're doing that, you're the kind of person who would do that. And in the moment that you're doing that, you're the kind of person who would do that. To say that those things are not true is to construct an entire reality about what is real and what is unreal that becomes very, very complicated and is very difficult to hold up. When someone goes before a judge, we ask, what did this person actually do? Not, what kind of person is this? What did this person actually do, and what kind of harm did he cause? And then when that person goes up for a parole hearing, we ask, how stuck is this person? How likely is he to do it again? And the way that we'll determine that is how this person has acted in between. Right? The letter that says, I've changed, doesn't say so much. Right? Good behavior says a lot. Here he uses this word. He says, if you force yourself to practice the Buddha way, eventually you will arouse true Bodhi mind. It's exactly the opposite of what almost anyone would think. You wait around for Bodhi mind. You wait for it, and when lightning strikes, then you practice the Buddha way. Dogen says, no. His message over and over and over and over and over again is, you are a Buddha. Act like it. And there's very little more. And I'll stop there.
For more information about Zen, our practice, and how you can support and take part in our community, please visit zennovascotia.com.